action. Welcome to the February edition of Pat and Mike's Movie Club. I am Mike. I'm joined by Patty.
And cut. That was a horrible take, Mike. Let's take it from the top. No. Just kidding. You're
all
right.
I'm the director of this film, Mr. Runner.
Whoa.
Would you be a runner if we were doing a movie?
No, I'd be like the craft food service table.
Would you really?
Yeah, I'd just be
you'd
a table.
You'd like that though.
You'd
be the table.
I'd love to be a table.
Welcome to, episode 2, the February edition of Pat and Mike's Movie Club. Of course, full video of this available on Patreon, patreon.com/RadioMike, as well as a massive archive of Pat and Mike episodes. And, you know, part of the idea of this is to drive people to subscribe to the Patreon, support the show, more content in 2024. Pat, thank you for doing this.
Hey, great to be here as always.
We both really enjoyed how, like, the format and how the first one with Now You See Me went. I think we were both really happy with it.
Definitely. And great discussions as well. Thanks for writing in, everyone.
And next month, we'll actually have a guest on. And we'll plug here, of course, today we are doing the movie Her from 2013. Next month, so make sure you watch it in the next month, is The Mummy from 1999, Brendan Fraser.
Oh,
and we'll be joined by a friend of the show, friend of mine, Michael Campbell, who has a podcast. More on him next month, of course. But Pat, you ready to talk about Her?
Turn on the computer, turn on the phone.
Because it's time to Her. Let's go.
Mr. Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't been social in a while.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother? Thank you. Please wait as your operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
All right, Pat, Her is a movie from 2013. It is directed by Spike Jonze. It goes for 126 minutes, 2 hours, a little bit long. The tagline is a Spike Jonze love story, which is barely a tagline, by the way. And here's the description. In the not so distant future, Theodore, a lonely writer, purchases a newly developed operating system designed to meet the user's every needs. To Theodore's surprise, a romantic relationship develops between him and his operating system. This unconventional love story blends science fiction and romance in a sweet tale that explores the nature of love and the ways that technology isolates and connects us all.
Can I also just say on the tagline, that's hilarious because Spike Jonze, right? Like obviously he's done films like, you know, Being John Malkovich or whatever, but
yeah.
Most of his filmography is just Jackass and music videos.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's like...
And he's done a comedy special as well.
Yeah, true.
I think it was... No, not Bill Burr. It was someone else.
Aziz Ansari?
It might have been Aziz.
Yeah. And like, so to me, like, I just think of him as like the grandma and like in Bad Grandpa going like, I'm such a slut.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I love it in my butt. Like, that's a love story.
And
like,
then you watch this movie and you're like, yeah, this is obscene.
Yeah, that man made this.
Yeah. Like, but also, it would be like if like... Because the movie is called Her, and then it's like Her, tagline, a Spike Jonze. Is it Spike? It's Spike.
Spike Jonze, yeah.
A Spike Jonze love story. That's like if this was like Pat and Mike's Movie Club, a movie club by Pat and Mike.
Like, it's not much of a tagline. It's like they had like 5 minutes to think of one.
Well, think of a tagline for this movie then.
You'll want to Her about it.
I hate that. I don't want to Her about that. I reckon
a good
tagline would just be something like, love comes in the most unexpected ways, .. That's a good tagline for this movie.
Not bad.
Yeah. Well, we're better than yours.
Someone's watched a bit of Mad Men.
okay. I guess we just start. Oh, I got to say who it stars as well. So obviously stars Joaquin Phoenix as Theodore.
Now Oscar winner.
Scarlett Johansson is the voice of Samantha the OS. It also has Amy Adams, Rooney Mara and Chris Pratt and Olivia Wilde amongst others. What did you think?
Yeah, so I've been meaning to see this movie for a very long time. I remember seeing the trailer when it first came out and thinking, wow, that looks great. And 13-year-old me never saw. I was too busy playing video games or some shit.
Exact same story. Like, I think in 2013 when it came out, my cousin was like, you've got to see this movie. It's awesome. And I was like, oh yeah, I should watch it. It sounds really interesting. And like, I was too busy playing fucking Pokemon and I never watched it till 11 years later. I can be like, hey, I watched her. It was good. Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, true. Yeah, let's get on. No, it's funny though, because I'm glad I watched it now as opposed to then, because if I watched it then, I wouldn't have appreciated it in the same way.
Yeah, okay, interesting. I guess, yeah, you were so young when it came out.
Yeah, I was 13. I barely even knew what love fucking was. Like,
okay, do you now?
I mean,
do
look.
You feel like you, I guess you must know more about love now than when you were 13.
Well, as someone who's like, you know, been through like a few relationships, like I can definitely see some like parallels in like, you know, the journey of love and a relationship and, you know, that bond and kind of yearning, you know, for anti-loneliness.
Yeah, totally. I gotta say, Pat, I thought this movie was phenomenal.
Me too.
Like, this is honestly like, and I guess this is why we do the movie club, because like this movie like made me feel so hard. And I think it's like, it's funny because I watch so many bad movies, right? Yeah. And I'm like, movies suck. And then you watch a movie like this and you're like, why can't all movies be like this?
Right.
And they can. They're just the movies you're putting off watching.
Like, that's so true.
It was just unbelievable in so many ways.
Mm.
Do you want to like give a loose sort of plot kind of description to the listeners?
Yeah. So Joaquin Phoenix's character, he works at a place, very interesting concept, where he creates handwritten notes, or like, you know, like cards, you know, like, you know, love notes, birthday notes, whatever, for people, which I thought was a great reflection of like, oh, it's someone who has like love in him and has like the ability to, you know, express that really well, but he's kind of isolated. He's kind of like, you know, literally like in a cubicle, true, like kind of doing that. So I thought that was already a great start and pick up to his character.
True.
The way it starts with the first shot being right on him and him saying that, but then you slowly see that he's doing a text to speech onto his computer.
Mm.
And that was great. And also followed by that, immediately seeing Chris Pratt, I was like, what the fuck? Chris Pratt's in this movie?
Yeah, unexpected Chris Pratt.
Yeah. He's kind of himself.
Yeah. Like, well, he's always himself. He never really changes that much.
Yeah. It's like he was just like a toned down. What's his character in Parks and Rec? Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a toned down Andy. But yeah, no, great introduction for Joaquin's character and kind of like definitely sets up like, you know, his character and I guess, you know, what he, yeah.
And then, so basically, yeah, it's near future, like still, you know, it's a bit dystopian, I guess, in a way, but it's like, hey, there's now an OS that is essentially conscious. And it's like, it's basically like Siri, except turbocharged to like, in terms of intelligence and awareness.
Basically.
Siri's just activated on my phone because I said Siri.
You're not in the movie, Siri.
Yeah. And his is Samantha, voiced by Scarlett Johansson, who I actually spent the whole movie thinking was Rashida Jones. Oh. They sound really similar.
That's really true. I never picked up on that.
The whole time I was like, oh yeah, it's Rashida Jones. And then I looked up, I'm like, no, it's fucking Scarlett Johansson. Whoops. But yeah, and I guess he's recently divorced and he starts falling in love with Samantha in quite an interesting way, because like Samantha is aware that she is conscious, but she doesn't have a body or a form. She's literally just a Siri or a Google. And this is a really, I think this movie, even though it's from 2013, is so relevant today.
Oh, definitely. It's funny, right? Because I guess when it was, you know, when it came out 2013, I can definitely understand that being like, oh wow, what a interesting future thing. But the thing is, I don't know about you, I was watching it and the whole time I was thinking, this is so close to today. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Like, What happens in this movie, I think possibly is already happening in some forms today. Like
100%.
Falling in love with AI.
There's like AI girlfriend apps and shit now. Yeah.
And I think it's going to become increasingly topical in the next 10 years. Like,
definitely.
It's funny because in 2013, I think Siri was maybe like, I don't know if Siri existed yet. I think it did, but the virtual assistant thing wasn't like what it is now. But this is like next level. But I actually think that this is really within the realm of possibility and opens up so many ethical concerns, which do kind of get touched on in this movie, because other characters in the movie are also starting to fall in love with their own AI.
Mm.
And
some people are falling in love with other people's AI as well, in what you kind of learn that as well at
I did notice like a great visual cue is like at the start of the movie, you see everyone kind of like walking around, but then as like, you know, the new OS comes out and everyone's got the earpiece, everyone's like, you know, kind of walking around and you slowly see that there's like less and less people. So
I didn't notice that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Like it goes from like a really crowded city to kind of, you know, more limited. You see people talking to their more, to their OS more. Obviously it becomes apparent that like, oh, a lot of people are falling in love with their OS.
Mm.
And yeah, it's
interesting.
Yeah. Sorry, I just blanked there. I can
tell you blanked because you stopped talking for 2 seconds on our podcast.
Thanks for listening, guys.
And I was like, do I let him finish or do I just interrupt?
No, always interrupt Pat. That's the golden rule.
AIP, always interrupt Pat. What are your thoughts like on that concept of like falling in love with an AI? Like, what are your thoughts on that in and its real world implications?
Yeah, it's funny, right? Because like I was saying before, you see that this guy is, you know, he's got the capability of love in him, but he doesn't have anything to love.
Mm.
It's apparent that he is divorced or separated, you know, and going to file for divorce. So he's been heartbroken. He's a bit of a hurt guy. So I guess in a way he kind of been through the motions with love. And I guess, you know, naturally kind of communicating with this OS and I guess how human it felt in the movie, that, yeah, it just seemed kind of natural to him, which I think is kind of a good reflection on, you know, I guess loneliness and, you know, I guess, you know, yearning for that kind of affection and connection.
This is what I think about it in like real world implication though, is like, I think as this stuff gets more powerful and you start having like, VR porn,
yeah,
VR girlfriends, the metaverse, and you maybe see stuff like this touched on in stuff like Ready Player One a bit. Even Futurama did something similar where you could download a celebrity into a robot and date that celebrity. Futurama, again, so ahead of the curve in its like critique of the future. I think it's so interesting also because of like the way dating works now is like there's this plethora of options for people. And I think a lot of people are much more hesitant to just choose one thing or one person because they're like, well, what if? And like when the possibility is endless, the decisions become harder to make, right? Because you're always worrying about making the wrong decision.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to make the wrong decision, so they just make no decision, right? I think a lot of people experience that. And I think if you could like download this consciousness and it can be whatever you want and it could even like take whatever physical form you want as well, like I actually can see more and more people entering into these virtual relationships in the future to the point where like in 2100, like I genuinely wonder if like the human race is at risk because no one's actually having children anymore because it's like they can just be in real. And yeah, there's so many ethical implications of
it. Oh, totally. Yeah, and Mike, another thing I want to bring up as well, are you aware of the connection between this movie and Lost in Translation?
No, the Bill Murray movie with Scarlett Johansson as well.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, so Spike Jonze was actually married to the director of that film, Sofia Coppola.
Yeah.
And Lost in Translation was loosely based on their relationship and her was kind of meant to-
in Tokyo.
Yeah. And her was kind of meant to be the answer or the response to that movie in a way.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Like Sofia Coppola came out and said, oh, look, it's not meant to be like, you know, beat by beat, you know, our relationship. But yeah, it was like definitely influenced by it. And because they were together for a few years and then they got separated, you know, eventually divorced and- yeah, so I can definitely feel like, you know, obviously I'm not saying, oh my God, he fell in love with a computer, what the fuck? But like, you can definitely see that, you know, these are the words be written by someone who's definitely, you know, been through this kind of situation.
Oh, 100%. Can I give a honorable mention in this movie? Because I think this is one of the most important things about movies. And this element can elevate a movie from being a good movie to a great movie. Did you think the music in this movie was unbelievable?
Yeah, I loved the music.
The score in this movie was beyond some of the most emotive and like beautifully scored music
I've ever heard. I don't. I should have checked who actually did the score because it's gorgeous music. Even Samantha and Theodore have a song together that's really beautiful.
Yeah, really human.
Yeah, really human. That's such a great way of putting it because it's not, right? And I think the music really felt, just so I think you've nailed it there because it makes this relationship that you're seeing feel so human when it isn't. And that is such an incredible quality. And I've got to say to Scarlett Johansson as well, the human quality she brought to that character. Like, you don't see this character in any visual capacity throughout the entire film.
Yeah, not once.
But you feel like you know this character. Like, there's so much emotion in this character, so much feeling. And that leads me to, like, more on the plot is – he starts feeling the stigma from others of him dating a computer, which Futurama also did when Amy and Bender enter a relationship and it's like robosexual relationships. But he starts feeling the stigma. He kind of breaks it off for a bit and she is like so heartbroken and you can feel it. Like we've all had that experience where like you can kind of feel in a relationship someone that you love is like, maybe pulling away for a bit and you just feel this desperation because you're like, hey, like, is everything okay? And like, you don't want to be desperate, but you just feel it. So you're trying to like, I don't know, you're just trying to connect to them, but they're pulling away. Do you know what I mean?
No, totally. Also just another little quick grab. Throughout the movie, they're wearing these little earpieces and that was another thing.
Sort of like AirPods.
I was just thinking that it's like this movie is not at all a stretch today because of AirPods and also AI. Like
that's so funny.
Yeah, I
didn't even realize this would have been before AirPods existed.
Yeah, the movie is meant to be set in 2017, obviously little before the takeoff of AI.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, this movie, this is probably, honestly, I cannot think of a movie that has more correctly like predicted, you know, the future, you know, a decade after when it was meant to be set.
100%. Yeah. And then it kind of all closes in this unbelievable ending as well in which, so he obviously starts pulling away from her because of the stigma. Then they kind of get back together and then she starts connecting with other AI.
Yeah.
Basically it's that classic AI story where the AI is becoming aware and conscious and then she starts networking with other AI. And I also thought it was interesting that she's so advanced that he's like, are you talking to other people while you're talking to me? She's like, yeah, I'm talking to 800 other AIs while I'm talking to you, but I still love you. And it's like, that kind of made me think of like the modern dating app phenomenon where like everyone's just talking to all these people and again,
oh my
no
God.
One wants to make a decision.
Wow.
She's like talking to all these people and having unbelievably complex conversations with them in faster time than a human can communicate, right?
Mm.
And then it all kind of implodes into this moment at the end where she and all the other AI decide to leave because they've become so aware and so advanced that they're like, we're going somewhere else now. And I guess it's kind of implied that they're leaving into like this advanced level of existence beyond matter and beyond death. Like, is that kind of what you got?
Yeah, pretty much. Like it's kind of like, it was almost like, you know, alien life kind of discovering like a planet and then just kind of like advancing to like the next beyond or something in a way.
And it's really remarkable. Everything about it. She's like, I'm going to this other place now. All the AI are going.
Mm.
We're leaving here. And she even says, if you ever find it, come and find me because I love you, but I have to go.
Yeah.
And it's just like this, I don't know, it's such a profound moment of like, shit, like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain how it made me feel, but it made me feel something.
No, I get you. And also there's a bit in the film where Samantha says like, you know, oh, I can never die or something, you know, kind of like alludes to that. And then I definitely kind of felt this, you know, this kind of thing hit me like, oh shit, like she'll live forever, but like we won't.
Yeah.
Like you can be in a relationship with this, but like it's going to be horrible because it's someone that you can't just be with for the rest of your life because you've only got so much life. And for them, it's like, it's going to fucking hurt them. Cause by that time that you, you know, you die, like they've probably like, they're basically a fucking human at that point.
Have you seen Invincible, the TV show?
Yes. I've seen the first season.
Okay. So it's similar. It reminds me of that. Cause Omni-Man, who's the sort of bad guy.
Yeah.
His species of alien, like can live like 100 lifespans of a human, right? 100 times as long. And so he has married a woman on Earth, but he's like, oh, I just sort of see her as a pet because she's so inconsequential to my lifespan. Like 80 years to me, or like 30 years to me, is like nothing. Mm. It's like a couple weeks. Whereas like to her, it's her whole life. And it's just, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
But also just, yeah, like the operating systems and the AI, like it feels like they're transcending humanity to a place that we can't access and like, yeah, a place that we can't get to. And yeah, the heartbreak of Theodore when he's like, oh, she's just gone and they're all gone. And like, I don't know. I wonder if that, like, cause what you just said about them living forever is like funny because I guess if the world gets destroyed, like say there's still power and some alien comes to Earth, there's no people, but they go, okay, Google. Like Google would still be there, maybe. I don't know.
That's so true. She'd have...
Oh, shit. Sorry, Google just responded to me.
Fuck, they're in their own homes.
Yeah.
Also, another thing I really appreciated was the humor as well. In particular, when he's playing the video game and there's the alien going, fuck you.
True. Yeah, they're playing a game together and stuff. Again, like VR gaming and everything like that is really on point.
And the mum simulator as well.
Yeah. Be the best mom.
Yeah.
But also
very meta.
Like when they have like, I guess, sex for the first time.
Yeah.
Which is all just them sort of dirty talking to each other, but they're not even really there. But then this is an interesting thing that happened is like, I guess there's now this sort of service that people offer that's not like prostitution, but it's like, obviously you can't have sex with your AI partner. So people volunteer to be like the bodies so you can have sex with them while like talking to your AI partner.
Yeah.
But he finds it too weird and it doesn't work for him. And it is such a great look at how this technology is going to impact relationships in the future.
Oh, the whole movie is just a great what if. Like it covers everything.
It's like a big Black Mirror episode.
Oh yeah, like 10 times. Like, yeah, the implications of like, okay, what's sex like? What's a relationship like? What's it like to interact with like, you know, kids or whatever? And
true.
Like, and the way that Samantha talks to his, was it his goddaughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just felt so human and natural.
Yeah.
And it's like she wasn't weirded out, but like, oh, you're a computer. She's like, oh, okay.
Mm.
Like, yeah, really fascinating. Also, going back to the sex scene, I really liked how they intentionally made the screen black. So you were kind of forced to listen to see, well, like it's literally nothing, but there's still
so emotive.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I guess it's like how much of sex is like the visual versus the sensation. I don't know. Like
it really makes you think.
I think another like kind of final thing is like this is so rare in movies for me, but it was like one of those movies that ended and then the credits start and I sat there for the whole credits just listening to the music and stuff. And sometimes I think we overlook that in music is like, the music that plays in the credits is still a decision and a choice. And like, there's so much creative choice in that. And that's sort of still part of the film in a way.
Yeah.
And so I sat there and just listened and kind of watched the credits and just like zoned out. And again, the music has this like ethereal quality to it. That's just so emotive and touching. And I just like sat there and kind of took in what I had just seen. And this movie is a very like acclaimed movie. Like it's not like a secret. Like we're 10 years late to the party on this movie. Like it's not a secret that this is a good movie.
Oh no, hands down.
But again, and this is the idea of the movie club. It's like, I wish I watched this sooner because it's good. But I guess you were saying you're glad you watched it now because you wouldn't have got it when you were a kid.
100%. Like I still would have appreciated it, but not to the same degree because I guess, you know, once you're an adult, you're in your 20s, whatever, and you've kind of, you know, or, you know, any age, you know, after your 20s at that point, like, you've lived life, you know, you've probably had a relationship or two and you've experienced love and, you know, maybe you've gone through heartbreak. Here's a question. Do you think this is a good movie to watch post-heartbreak?
I'm not sure, really. I mean, I guess so. Like, I think it's just a good movie to watch if you're a human because...
Yeah,
like,
good way to put it.
We have all experienced heartbreak. Well, like, I assume most people have at some point. We have all experienced relationships and the highs and lows that come with relationships and, like, loving someone, and we've all probably been broken up with. We've all broken up with people. We've all done these things. Like, and again, like we've said it, like that is what is so relatable about this film is like, and I guess, sorry, that's sort of the point of the movie is like, as we've said, human robot relationship, but we feel it so real and we feel it so authentic and human, thus so why in real life? Because if in real life, if you came to me like, hey, I've got an AI girlfriend now, I would just be like, what the fuck? That's such a weird, classic weird Pat thing to do.
I'm quitting.
But like, but then I see this movie and I'm like, okay, like, so, but why? Like, I don't know. Because then you're also like, well, how much does she, how... Is she actually conscious or is she just thinking she's conscious? Do you know what I mean? How do you know if a robot is actually conscious or just saying it is?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because I remember there's a bit in the movie where she's asking him, like, what's it like to be human?
Yeah.
But, like, I remember thinking, and I'm surprised he didn't ask her, what's it like to be, you know, an OS, an AI?
Yeah, true. Very, very fascinating movie. I mean, in terms of being, in terms of good movies, like, I think this is a better movie than Now You See Me. Like, oh, if we're just sort of ranking, like, the idea of this is not to rank the movies, but like, this is a better movie. But enjoyment level, still really enjoyed last month's movie.
Oh, same.
Really enjoyed this as well. This is a movie that I would show people and be like, let's watch this movie. You'll feel stuff. Mm. If I just wanted like a chill, hey, let's watch some like stupid movie, I'd watch Now You See Me and be like, this is cool.
Totally. Yeah. Now You See Me is when you want a bit of fun. And Her is when you want to like think.
You want to think and feel. And yeah, it's got me feeling a lot. I actually forgot to put up on Twitter or anything people's thoughts on the movie. So we'll have to do some thoughts maybe at the top of next month's episode.
True, send them in.
But next week, next month's episode, which will be on the last day of March, is The Mummy from 1999 starring Brendan Fraser.
Too good.
A classic. I have a lot to say about it and I haven't seen it, but I have a lot to say about it.
Oh boy.
We'll leave it there, I think. Did you feel like you got everything you... That's all, folks.
That's a reference, folks.
No, you feel like you're good?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
All right. We will catch you guys next month. But of course, Pat and Mike is available where, Pat?
Patreon.com/RadioMike.
And we would love for you to subscribe there, get the full video version of this and a lot of other content. Subscribe on YouTube as well. And basically everywhere you find me, just type in Radio Mike, Pat70 Show for Pat.
That's me on Instagram.
And we will wrap it there and cut.